Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Excited for this next segment. Now, we did have a couple of great guests, a couple of great friends of the show, and of course, two guys that you can hear on the Triple Threat NBA Talk every Sunday. Covering the Summer League for us here on Drive Time Sports, Jameson Welsh and Jabari Davis, they were both down at the Las Vegas Summer League. We talked to Jabari last week. Jameson is joining us right now over the phone as Summer League is finally over. Jameson, great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Definitely. I said finally over because it just seemed like this year's Summer League went on for a really, really long time. I mean, you're right in the heart of Las Vegas, so you know exactly the hoopla and the hype surrounding this event. Seemed like it was bigger than ever this year. A lot of that has to do with the fact that there's so much talent there. We have such a heavy draft class. But the NBA has done a terrific job making Summer League an actual event.
Well, here's the thing. You mentioned it. This year you had the top five guys all in Vegas at one point in time or another. You add in the seventh pick and also the 10th pick out here as well and the 9th pick. So you have 8 out of the top 10 picks all out here at least playing from the get-go. That's huge. Like, when you have that kind of talent, it usually doesn't shake out like that. Usually it's maybe 4 or 5 guys. A guy might be hurt. But you have all those kind of guys playing out here, you're going to get record crowds. And let's be honest, the Lakers withdraw the fans. The Lakers draw the people here. And if you're a Laker fan, you don't want to play any more important Summer League games. You want to hope this transfers October. But the Laker fans, when they have a team in Summer League with some young players, they're going to come out in droves to watch their young guys. That's just the best fan base in the league, however people want to slice it. Summer League game selling out because of the Lakers. There's other fan bases that are great as well, but LA being 4 hours away, an hour flight away, these are the kind of results that are going to happen. It'll be very interesting to see what will happen if the Lakers are good again and they don't have a high draft pick playing in Summer League and they're just a regular Summer League team. It'll be very interesting to see what takes place at that point.
I can't help but believe that the majority of the excitement surrounding Summer League, at least from the Lakers' standpoint, was the fact that Lonzo Ball was there. And the hype surrounding Lonzo Ball is extremely real. Now, with that being said, he wins MVP of Summer League, and he definitely deserved this. This kid played great basketball. Even if you get rid of the 2-of-15 performance in the first game, which I still thought Jameson in that game, he still played well. He just didn't shoot the ball well. His averages across the board were fantastic. He nearly averaged a triple-double. Did record a couple of triple-doubles in itself. I believe he averaged 16 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, something along those lines. He looked very, very good, but I do try to, I have to remind people, remember the competition is not great at Summer League. With that being said, you still have to perform, and he did.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Lonzo Ball had 2 triple-doubles in the Las Vegas Summer League. Never been done before. No one's ever had one before. He got 2 in like a week. So, hey, when it comes down to it, and like you mentioned, the first game was kind of rough, 2-15. But he had good numbers. He had good assist numbers, good rebounding numbers. Shots just didn't go in. A couple of shots went in and out. But, no, he's a guy that he's a franchise-changing player that, Magic and Rob Plinka brought in. We'll see how that translates to the regular season. But he's the kind of guy that, he's a pretty good player, and he makes other guys better. Even though he didn't play last night and Kyle Kuzma went off and a couple other guys played well, his passing has been contagious. Everyone's making the extra pass except Vanderbilt. Everyone's making the extra pass. Everyone's trying to get other guys involved and keep their head up and look for other guys in good spots. And the one thing I've seen about him is he's getting guys the ball where places where they don't have to do a whole lot. All they got to do is lay up or just rise and fire. And that's always a good thing when you have a point guard. I think we got kind of away from the traditional pure type of point guard with all the scoring guards. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's no right or wrong way to play the position. You got a guy scoring 25 a night and shooting 4 threes a game. There's nothing wrong with that. At the same time, I think there should be a mixture. We don't have a whole lot of that left outside of Chris Paul, where you got a guy that can really set the table and make other guys better on a consistent basis, and that's what Lonzo is. I'm not going to call him Jason Kidd because that's a very unfair comparison. Jason Kidd was a phenomenal player coming out of Cal. But I do think Lonzo can have that kind of impact on the Lakers. I think he can have that kind of impact, especially once the talent gets a little bit better on the roster. I think he can have that kind of impact on that team.
Again, Jamison Welsh, I believe the HypeNBA.com, joining us right now over the phone as we talk Summer League. You mentioned Kyle Kuzma. A lot of people here in the state of Utah watch Kyle play for a very long time. He's the MVP of the championship game last night. Kuzma looked good throughout the entire Summer League. One of the things that really impressed me about Kuzma was his range. He looked very good from well beyond the NBA three-point line. I mean, he was very consistent from downtown throughout this entire tournament. And when I watch Kuzma, the first thing that I actually look at now that it's done, now that we've watched him play eight games in Summer League, I'm not going to rush to judgment. Again, it is Summer League, but Jamison, he looks like a guy who will eventually replace Julius Randle in this Laker offense, knowing that Randle's going to have to get paid. I think this guy could be a legitimate replacement for him.
No, you're absolutely right. And when you look at Kyle Kuzma, he didn't have that type of jumper at Utah. It wasn't like that. You got to credit him and also his personal trainer, Clinton Parks, for getting him right, because, you know, not everyone goes into, you know, the Summer League and the after draft process improving that much. He really put the work in. You got to give him a lot of credit for that, because he was damn near automatic, especially on open threes this tournament. So he's a guy that will get better. He's a guy that plays multiple positions, can play the three or the four, maybe even some small ball five in some lineups. And when you can shoot that outside shot at a high clip and the defense has to respect you, you're going to be on the floor. And Julius Randle doesn't really fit the mold of what this new regime is looking for. This new regime is looking for guys that are unselfish, that guys that play defense, and guys that are team-first guys. From what we've seen out of Julius Randle, we haven't seen a lot of that yet. Now, we'll see what happens when he comes back. He's been in awesome shape. We'll see how his mentality has changed, or we'll see what his mentality is going into a contract year. But the way the Lakers have kind of shifted their organization and the guys they've brought in, and what they're looking to do, it's team first. Defense is a priority now. I don't know how he fits into that, and he's a guy that will probably be traded if things don't go the way the front office, you know, thinks they will. Because remember, the front office traded D'Angelo Russell. A lot of people have different opinions on him. But they got rid of him quickly. It would not be surprising if they got rid of Julius Randle or Jordan Clarkson as well.
Let's move on and talk about some of the other individuals in Summer League. The Tatum versus Jackson debate. This is something that I think is really going to plague this draft. We're going to be talking about Tatum versus Jackson, I think, for years to come. The third and fourth picks in the draft probably going to be compared for maybe even the entire course of their career. We've seen that happen with two players that somewhat shadow each other. All in all, talk to me about these two players and who stood out to you. Who seems to be the better of the two right now?
Well, Tatum is the guy most likely to affect, you know, put his effect on the league right away, you know, because he can score. He can score the basketball. He's been a pro type of guy for like the last 4 years. I actually know a family member of his, and he told me about 5 years ago, hey, look out for my guy. He's going to be special. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Next thing you know, Kentucky gives him an offer like at 14, and then Duke comes, and all the other schools come along, and then next you know, he's at Duke, and the rest is history. So his offensive game is what Boston needs. So as we saw in the conference finals, they didn't have a whole lot of guys that could make stuff happen from the perimeter. So adding a Jason Tatum definitely helps, especially at that size. He can play multiple positions. He can guard multiple people, and he's definitely an asset out there. Josh Jackson fits more of the need for Phoenix. Phoenix needs a guy. They don't need another offensive guy. That's why the mock drafts were kind of weird, because for the longest time they had Josh Jackson going to Boston, and they had Tatum going to Phoenix. In my opinion, Phoenix didn't need another guy that was a scorer. They need a defensive guy, a guy that can complement Booker more, doing the dirty work and being okay with that. And Josh Jackson's a guy I can see getting between 17 and 20 a night without having a play ran for him. I was talking to a couple people this past week. I'm not going to say he's going to be Sean Marion good, because in my opinion, Sean Marion was pretty special for what he did. But I can see him having that kind of impact with a little bit more refined version of Sean Marion. Josh Jackson's a talented guy. He's able to do a lot of things on the basketball court, but he's also a guy that does need the ball to be effective. He does need to score to make his presence felt, and that's what Phoenix needed desperately. I think Boston needed a score, so both guys went to places that can help them right away, and you know that will fit their situation right away. Which one's better at this point in time? It's really a toss-up. It really comes down to preference. If you're an offensive guy, you're going to go Tatum because of what he does, his skill set special. If you're a guy that values defense and other things, you're going to value Josh Jackson because of what he brings on a consistent basis.
Let's talk about two guys that I believe are going to go down as steals in this draft. Dallas grabbing Dennis Smith Jr. at number 9. He looked fantastic in the summer league. In fact, right now, I dare say he is the most athletic and probably the top shot creator for Dallas. That's not a knock on Dirk Nowitzki. Let's get real. I think at this point in time, you got a guy that is extremely athletic. He's going to be one of the top players on this Dallas roster going into the season. Donovan Mitchell's another guy. A lot of buzz surrounding him. The Jazz need something to lift their spirits following the Gordon Hayward debacle. I think that Donovan Mitchell's a guy that in 2 to 3 years, he will make Jazz fans forget about Gordon Hayward. I'm that high on him, Jameson. I love what he can do defensively as well. These are two guys that received a lot of praise at the Summer League, and rightfully so.
Oh, without a doubt. Those two guys, the Knicks are going to regret passing on, in my opinion. I don't know much about the guy from France. I don't, so I can't really speak on him. But I can speak on Dennis Smith Jr. having a 45-inch vertical and being able to play the point guard position. I can also speak on Donovan Mitchell being a big point guard that likes playing defense and rose up the draft charts. Those are two guys that the Knicks should have seriously considered drafting. Those are guys that can make plays to bring some energy back into the garden and give fans some hope. And that's not what they did with their pick. And they gave Dallas and even Utah, they allowed Utah to, you know, get a guy, Donovan Mitchell, that at that spot. That's a huge pick, in my opinion. That's a pick, in my opinion, that that helps get over losing a Gordon Hayward, because now you have a guy that can make plays and adds a breath of fresh air at a position that you've had issues with, and you don't have to overpay for that. So it's a good fit for both the teams that got him. I think the Knicks really, really, really are going to regret this. And also, I'll even go one further. I think the Magic are going to regret picking the guy they picked over the point guards that got chosen later.
Jameson, before I let you go, we have to talk about disappointments. Obviously, Markelle Fultz plays just one game. I'm not sure how much you actually got to look at Markelle Fultz. Outside of that, there were a couple of other players that didn't necessarily, I don't know, shine above the rest. Zach Collins was shut down early. He had a thigh bruise. Didn't really look like he was ready to be playing at this level. And you and I have talked about the fact that this isn't great basketball. That's a little bit of a concern for Zach Collins, but I think he's going to be fine. De'Aaron Fox didn't score a ton, didn't make a ton of plays. Justin Jackson just shot 23% from the field. So, I mean, all in all, there were some disappointing players. Lauri Markkanen, and he shot just 29% from the field in three games. So, as far as the start, stars and the studs that we've talked about, there were some guys that didn't necessarily dazzle.
Well, the last guy you mentioned, Lauri Markkanen, was the guy for me that really was disappointing, just because when you have a skill like shooting, that's the one thing I expect to translate right away to the next level. If you're a shooter, that's something that, all right, you can shoot in high school, you can shoot in college, you still shoot in the pros. That's one thing I expect. So they're building this guy as a shooter. All right, so the first game, he goes like 1 for 13 or 1 for 15, something really bad. Like, okay, something wrong. Then next game, it was a little bit better, but not by much. And I'm like, hold on, what's going on here? I was disappointed in him, but at the same time, it's just summer league. Things will change. Players will get better. You know, the system will be cleaner. So I'm not putting too much stock into it, but he was the most disappointing player. Zach Collins is the guy that's going to have to get stronger if he's going to play the center position in the NBA. He's got to get a bit stronger. His base isn't as strong. The talent's there, but his core's going to have to get a lot stronger because he gets pissed off his spot a lot easier. We even saw it in the championship game when he was going against those Carolina bigs. He was getting pissed off the block a lot easier. So we'll see what happens. But at the same time, it's just summer league. I wouldn't put a lot of stock into it. But those are the two guys that stick out the most of having a little bit rougher than expected summer leagues, because those are guys that are, you know, that's lottery picks. Those guys are top 10 picks, and you kind of expect a flash of something, and we really didn't get that from those two.
Last question before I let you go, Jameson. In the grand scheme of things, give me your assessment of the Las Vegas Summer League this year.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, every year it keeps on breaking attendance records. There's a buzz in the air. I mean, when Lakers have a team down here that has some high picks on it, some intriguing picks, fans are always going to show out. But just there's this different buzz this year than other years, man. A lot more people involved. Both gyms were packed. People love basketball, man. It's Vegas is a basketball town. It always has been. It always will be. And this just, you know, adds more fuel to it. My only thing is this, when you look at the whole situation out here, a lot of people don't like the smaller gym, but that's kind of the perfect situation because the gyms are connected to each other. But as of right now, it's a perfect situation. They have the hotels that accommodate everybody. I don't see it going anywhere soon. As a matter of fact, I can see the NBA stepping in and saying, hey, you know what? We're going to have all the 30 teams here from now on because they're making money off of it, and it's the best fit for everybody involved.
Jameson, a pleasure as always to get you on. Thank you again for the coverage, and we'll talk again real soon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me as always.
We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to move over to talk some Major League Baseball right here on KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. It's Drive Time Sports, and we're back after this.